everyone. Welcome to the Incubator Podcast. This is your co-host, Sabir Saran.
And this is Darren Boyd. And today we're going to be featuring Chronosphere, who is in the observability space, deep, deep roots in the open source movement, and can handle observability at a scale that most people only dream of. Chronosphere was founded in 2019 by Martin Mao and Rob Skillington. It started when they were tasked with solving observability at Uber. And to date, they've raised over $342 million of Series C. They're a unicorn in the space. And with us, we're really excited to have Paige Cruz, who's a senior developer advocate. Paige has an incredible energy, as you'll see, and such a delightful disposition. So we're really, really fortunate to have Paige. But Paige has lived this. So she's been an SRE. She's been a software engineer. She's worked for really, really big and interesting companies like Lightstep, New Relic, et cetera. So she has been in this space and solving this and feeling the pain, as we said. So we're excited to have Paige join. Paige, if we could, we want to hand it over to you. And if you wouldn't mind just walking us through your background, how you got here, why this is such an interesting domain to you, and then maybe tee up Chronosphere and give us a little bit of the background story, and then we'll kind of dive in from there.
Totally. So again, Paige Cruz, really happy to be here talking observability. Is one of my favorite things to do in the world, so much so that it became my full-time job. I'm the youngest retired SRE, as I like to say, and very happy with it in marketing. Like you mentioned, I've been in the observability space for my entire career. If I haven't been an SRE at an observability company, I've been an SRE doing observability practices on the ground of customers of observability companies. So I've really thought about this whole journey that a company is on as they mature with observability, from choosing a vendor. How do you pick which one? How do you compare them when it's really apples to oranges, depending on what generation observability vendor you're going for? I've done the messy, difficult, challenging work of migrating dashboards, alerts, metrics between vendors, and also have done end user enablement, which is, in my opinion, the most important part of your observability journey, is investing in upskilling the knowledge and level of your people. So Chronosphere caught my eye when I announced my retirement from site reliability engineering last spring. I said, I'm a little burned out. I've got to put down the pager. But what do I do with all this passion and energy around open telemetry is taking off? I want to be there for the ride. This is, I think, going to be, I haven't seen such a paradigm shift across the industry since OpenTelemetry, to bring all the big vendors, big monitoring, big observability, all at the same table and collaborating. Oh my God, it's a dream. So my passion about OpenTelemetry and for OpenTelemetry really got me interested in looking at Chronosphere, which is a three-year-old company. We were born in the pandemic. We were born into this cloud with a deep understanding of cloud-native complexity. And I thought, okay, they've got Prometheus metrics. They're all in on OpenTelemetry and traces. What makes them so different from any other vendor on the street, right? Sometimes it's a little bit difficult to disambiguate when to choose what vendor here. So it wasn't until I caught the SREcon talk from last year, Exemplars in Practice, Finding the Needle in Your Observability Haystack, that I thought, oh, it walked through when you're looking at a histogram and when you're looking at different traces that are exemplars and drilling in to get the trace waterfall, why, when, how do you do that troubleshooting workflow? And I was really taken aback because most of our tracing content these days is a little bit inward looking. It's a little bit, how do you productionize this? What kind of sampling rate are you doing for traces? Is that sufficient? And to see something that was so powerful for the everyday engineer who's just like, my company added tracing, now what? How do I change my workflow? I was very fascinated by their approach to this space. Then once I joined, I got an inside look at the platform. I learned all about our metrics analyzer, a tool I wish I had while I was practicing SRE. I cannot tell you how many hours of my life it would have saved to get a list of what are the metrics that are being emitted. Are they useful? Are they even used in an alert? Are they even charted on a dashboard? Or do we have some expensive metrics that literally no one at the company has looked at in however many months? That would have made my job of managing the observability bill so much easier. And I'm really proud to represent Chronosphere on our platform, because it's not just about how do we get your data in, how do we show it to you in fancy ways, but it's also how do you maintain visibility and control into the cost and the sprawl of your data, which is one of the biggest headaches that I had while I was a practicing SRE. So I'll wrap up sort of the intro to Chronosphere and say, we're a startup. We are lean. We are scrappy. It is incredible what we've been able to build in the last 3 years. And I credit some of that to building on top of open source instrumentation. We don't have the overhead of running a bunch of different language agent teams. We don't have the overhead of trying to manage a whole community around that. We're plugging into the existing communities where the standards already are. And if you join us today or are considering switching your observability vendors, going to a startup, we've got great customer service. Our enablement team is incredible and is with you every step of your observability maturity journey. We've got, I think it's like something like a 1-to-3 ratio of customers to your customer success representative, which is almost unheard of in this space. We really, really care not only about getting you on open source instrumentation, but also helping you on that journey. So for all of those reasons, and looking to the future of OTel adding logs one day, I was just really excited to join the ride and spread the love of OTel. So that's a little bit about me, my background, and why I chose Chronosphere as my employer, not only of my observability tool of choice.
So that gives us a lot to ponder, and it's awesome because we feel that passion back. Like, you're clearly in this space, and we love to see that. And there are so many things you just provided us that we want to start to unpack. But one of the things I do want to start with is, like you said, you were founded in 2019, so you're a startup. However, I think you exited Stealth late 2019. I think you had a closed beta early 2020, and around January or so 2021, I believe you went GA. So it feels new. However, this was being baked. M3 was being iterated on since 2014. It started at Uber. So you may be a startup, but you have years and years of doing this at scale from some of the underlying principles. Because I think at one point, Uber was taking in billions of data points a second. They had hundreds of thousands of dashboards. And then Rob, I think, was a co-founder of Open Metrics, which is an incubating project right now. And so I think that's important for people to recognize that maybe a startup, but the experience that you have garnered along the way in some of those underlying concepts is absolutely telling to where you are and some of the customers you have today.
Absolutely. And I would say it's not even relegated to just having top-notch engineering. Our product management, our PMMs, almost like basically every department within Chronosphere is people at the top of their game. It is so fun to nerd out with my coworkers about this stuff. My family does not want to talk about Prometheus. They are sick of it.
So Paige, like just building on what we're talking about here, so you guys have had this phenomenal growth path in the past 3 years. So organizations, enterprises that I would agree are now starting to at least embody open standards like OpenTelemetry in this domain, but maybe hesitant a little bit to talk about, hey, open source, how is Chronosphere actually building and tuning? I get the customer experience side of things, but from a platform perspective, how is Chronosphere embodying or bringing these enterprise customers to say, hey, yes, we embody open source. We've standardized this, metrics, traces, logs, et cetera, on top of this. How's that all coming together?
Yeah, I think on the Prometheus side, we have a lot of deep ties to the community. We're very close with Julius Bowles, founder, and we even were able to donate PromLens, a way to very simplify what can be an overwhelming challenge of getting a proper PromQL query formatted and sensible. So in that sense, we're very active in the Prometheus community. How do we get more data in? We want to help you on that journey. But not only that, but how do we introduce tracing to folks? Our approach has been within the platform, because like you said, enterprises are maybe on the fence, a little bit apprehensive about going all in on open source instrumentation. We are meeting developers where they are. The biggest fear I have is that we are going to miss this beautiful window of opportunity where vendors, the cloud, all of the kind of business sides are committed to OpenTelemetry. But if we don't have that end user adoption, we almost miss this beautiful window to get control of our data for ourselves, for our organizations. And so that is why I'm always like, okay, how do we bring people to their aha moment with tracing and trace data? It's already kind of a challenge to even get an end-to-end trace emitted throughout your system. But then how do you train the engineers and enable them to use it? Well, our approach is meet them where they are. We have operators and developers who are so good at looking at a metric chart, pulling out correlations, understanding and noticing hotspots. And so we're like, okay, instead of taking you to this totally separate workflow and trying to make you become the tracing expert for your company, we're going to derive metrics from traces and show you that in your dashboard. We'll show you a service topology map, which is a service map is my favorite thing, because you can show that to a junior engineer, senior architect, director of engineering, and everybody understands the request path. So our approach is really not treating tracing as this new extra shiny toy that we're trying to sell you, but really integrating it within how does it show up in your dashboards? How are you able to alert on this data? And just look at it as metrics. You don't even have to know that it's coming from a trace necessarily. It's just a very good metric that represents the response time for checkout and all of the associated actions that happen as a result of that. So on the OpenTelemetry side, this year I've become a CNCF ambassador. So I'm very happy to start to grow Chronosphere's contributions, awareness, and really drive folks to understand OpenTelemetry is so much more than traces. But even that is a huge step up and win for visibility for your company. So how does Chronosphere do it? We want to meet you where you are. We want to lower that cognitive overhead. And it's all about a cohesive workflow, not a separate workflow per pillar.
I think that's great. Just to underscore, and we're seeing this in some of the enterprise clients that we work with, where they are absolutely wanting to adopt OpenTelemetry. And yet they are also carrying some of the historical platforms, if you will, and is kind of like an interesting nexus point. And to your point is, how do you create that aha and embracement and take them down this path that you just alluded to? So, well, looking forward to it.
Yeah, and congrats on being an ambassador. That's a wonderful thing as well. But it's interesting because Chronosphere has been heralded as a single product company. And as you said, you've really treated metrics and traces as one capability, which I think is really, really cool and really important. Because I do think that a lot of folks out there are trying to layer more and more features on top of their products. And, and it maybe loses some of the intention, certainly the simplicity and certainly the uptick. I think the other thing that that we're really excited about is even in our customer base, we're seeing like high percentages of folks that are introducing open source and open standards, which is just wonderful. So they're mixing it with commercial off the shelf and open source, and we're certainly seeing a huge uptick in OpenTelemetry as well.
That's fantastic to hear, because the benefit to the companies is numerous. I mean, we don't have time to talk about how great it is for the companies. But on that note of people are the most important asset that any organization has, when we have open standards for our monitoring data, you can go from company to company and still know how to troubleshoot and find your way around, versus the really kind of vendor-specific naming for features or XYZ, this really levels the playing field so you can hire somebody and know if they know OTel, they're going to know their way around this stuff. And it's less onboarding for you to have to do. It's just,
I'm
happy to hear.
We were able to spend a little bit of time with the governing committee of OTel, and they were saying that one of the challenges they had was documentation wasn't where they wanted it to be. But since they've released their backend database and some of the providers are jumping on and helping create that experience, and you can use feature flags to turn on things on and off to demonstrate, I think they're really getting it, because you're right. It's important that we get the enterprises to adopt and communicate some of their successes and some of their challenges. So that's also wonderful. But switching back to Chronosphere, I think from where you started and where some of the folks that are consuming your product, because Zillow, I think, is a customer. DoorDash is a customer.
Yes.
Robinhood's a customer. These are companies that are doing things at scale. You said something else really, really interesting to me, which is one of the biggest challenges our customers have, aside from trying to be a little more agnostic and not getting into this tooling, retooling, doing, redoing cycle, is a cost play. And
you
are doing something very interesting. Like, there's no sampling on your traces, and yet you, with that control plane, you're really curtailing costs by developer group within a company, possibly through quotas, et cetera. Can you walk us through some of the things that Chronosphere is doing and looking at to help control those costs? Because that is, and we've seen it. There is a, I think, an instinct that says, maybe the more data I have, the more value I can deliver. And I even think that your kind of your ethos around, you don't look at it necessarily as three pillars. Mm-hmm. You look at it at three phases of coming to a resolution. All of this starts to tie together. So can you walk us through, how does Chronosphere curtail some of that cost spread?
Oh, totally. And it's more of a visual pun, but I used to call that work I did observability, where I was just trying to get visibility into our spend. Where is it going? Why did the bill go up? And not who is responsible, but what were the contributing factors to that spike? And so Chronosphere has, on the metrics side, what we call the metrics analyzer. And it is so powerful because when you get these edicts, hey, the bill went up, we need to figure out what that was and bring it back down. Or from what I'm hearing from a lot of observability leaders is they have specific OKRs around cutting costs, either a percentage or they have a target number to hit. So this is a very salient problem to be talking about right now, is how do you get insight into the cost? And not when I heard in January, all of this chatter about cost cutting, my biggest fear, my nightmare was like this image of somebody just taking a chainsaw to logs, and just hacking away kind of without taking an intentional look at what are we removing, why, and does this have an impact to our visibility? What no organization wants, even if you have a target to cut costs by 10%, you don't want to lose your critical visibility or the critical signals that you need to understand your system. So the way that Chronosphere approaches this is to, one, we generate sort of a utility score. So we look at all of the places within Chronosphere that metric could be used or shows up or has been queried for. If any human has found use in that metric, that score will be higher than zero. So that's one heuristic that a director, manager, or SRE could use to say, hey, if we need to trim the bill, let's look at the data that literally is not valuable to our company, that we are just paying out the nose for, that we could cut today and not have impact to visibility. So I really love that usage score. Additionally, we're very transparent about billing. We don't want you to be surprised. We want you to see how many data points per second is a particular metric and what's the level of tags and cardinality. We really give you the tools because you know your system best. You know your company best in the context to say and make those calls. What data can we drop that we don't need? Or what data can we roll up and aggregate and make a little bit more cost efficient? So on that cost piece, we give you kind of the reins to rein in your org spending. We give you all the tools and visibility you need to look at it. But ultimately, we say, hey, we let the computers do what they're good at, crunching the numbers. We give you the control to actually turn the knobs for your org.
That's pretty powerful. Let's say we have a lot of, again, customers, individuals we come across are concerned with cost, especially, again, the gamut of how do you manage this and without losing that visibility or functionality or not knowing, to your point, which metrics do I really need and how does that actually help me keep that visibility chain across? By the same or token here, Paige, is people are generally might assume that going down the open source path will actually require more investment on their part, right? To appreciate all of that. So while we have a great way of managing observability by way of Chronosphere, how do we overcome that maybe fear of, hey, this tool is rooted in the open source, open standards community. Now we're just going to have to really spend and hire on more support staff to maintain this platform on the back end. Is there some light that you can shed on this?
Yeah. When I look at the promise of open source, for me, when I put my business hat on, my CEO hat, I think, wow, even in the case of evaluating multiple vendors, which is something most companies should do as due diligence, when you have a system instrumented with open telemetry, you could just pipe that data to every different vendor, like it's, you know, one config change, and you suddenly have a head-to-head bake-off with your real data in these systems. So I think about, like, yes, there is a little bit of a shift that you and your org would have to do to adopt open source, but it actually gives you a lot more control and flexibility, power, insights. If you really wanted a specific, I don't know, tracing sampling algorithm, maybe you read some really cool computer science PhD paper and you're like, this is it, this is perfect for our company. You totally have the freedom to fork the collector and add that in and even just have it for your company, or you can donate it back to the community. So I think a lot of the times the double-edged sword when you go to a proprietary instrumentation vendor is that becomes a feature request, the things that you want. And enough companies, or if luckily you have a very big contract, maybe you have some more sway, but you've really got to work through if that aligns with the company's vision, their strategy, if it's, you know, the areas they're trying to grow in. Where on the open source side, hey, you could have one of your developers work on this for a month or so and either contribute it back and get the goodwill or just get it to work in your organization. So the trade-off that I see when going to open source is a lot more agency for organizations. And that agency becomes very, very important as we talk about really high bills and vendor lock-in. Wouldn't it be nice to flip a switch and say, hey, wasn't happy with our so-and-so vendor bill last year. I'm going to flip the switch and we're going to move over to Chronosphere and have that just be moving the pipeline of data from one place to another versus, you know, a whole big migration story. So when I think about the changes enterprises in particular would have to make is seeing the opportunities and the upside and really taking a hard look at how has your relationship with other vendors been over the past year? What has and hasn't been able to be made into production feature requests? How quickly are you able to innovate and apply what the company's putting out?
Mm-hmm.
And the last piece of it is a give and take. OpenTelemetry, we would be delighted for you to contribute code, for you to contribute conference talks. Here's how Company X uses OTel. Here's how we scaled the collector. You join this really big community. And when you can learn to give back and that it is a give and take, you get so much more value. I don't know how to say, like, it is, I'm really excited about this world of collaboration and moving towards this open source standard so we can stop debating push versus pull, and we can just actually talk about what is a good SLO for an e-commerce site for loading the recommendations for the shoes category. Like, right. That's the interesting stuff I want to talk about. But until we get there, happy to talk OTel strategy.
Sure. And I'm going to continue hogging the mic here.
Go for it.
So, but you mentioned a couple things around, again, the cost dynamics. And hey, if folks are feeling that pain and are maybe at a nexus about it, like saying, okay, well, which path do we go down and get all this visibility and functionality, the levers? And to your point, everything about, you know, not only the SLOs discussions, but the overall right developer experience. So when we talk about open source and everything like that, again, I think the world is shifting, and I think it's opening back up into open standards, open source types of concepts and enablement of the developer to pull these levers. So if I'm ready to like make that move to say, look, this looks pretty, this sounds really good, I like what Chronosphere has, what does that look like from an onboarding experience if you're have one of the traditional players out there in the observability space and coming over to Chronosphere? What kind of lift is that for onboarding or / migration? Because that historically has also been a point of fret for people who have instrumented all their dashboards, their metrics. It's like, Jesus, I don't have more cost and services dollars to put forth just so I can port this all over. So if you can share some perspectives on that.
Absolutely. And yeah, that migration, I did a few of those a couple years back. It is painful when it is a manual effort. And especially when we think about migrating your alerts, as an on-call engineer, that was probably my biggest source of stress, was between two vendors, do they even have the same alert evaluation windows? Do I need to tune my thresholds? Are all the features supported for the fancy AI alerts, right? Like, there's a lot of feelings around the migration, in addition to it just being a massive project. And Chronosphere helps with every step of the journey. So we're there to make a plan of attack with you to say, hey, how do we prioritize what services to move? Or where do you already have Prometheus metrics that we can bring over easy peasy? And what stuff are we going to need to look at that's proprietary to conversion? I believe there's some tools in development. I've worked on tools in the past as well to kind of go from one vendor to another. It's possible. It's a lot of work, but very, very worth it to have sort of that light switch, that ease of moving the data. There's a second part of your question. Do you mind repeating?
Well, I think I might have forgotten.
So the migration is tricky. How do we help you afterwards? Oh, so when we talk about moving from a traditional kind of maybe Gen 2 enterprise monitoring tool to open source, yes, there are some differences in the developer experience. OpenTelemetry is always continuing to evolve, so I'm not worried about that. Prometheus is already the de facto standard for metrics. And so I think folks are a little more familiar with that. But it can be almost like a Mac versus Windows thing. Like, that's how different the open source developer experience is compared to the enterprise monitoring vendors. And that is where we work with you on the training and enablement. I've volunteered. I'm always happy to come do a brown bag. Hey, come do a ride along with me as I investigate in the data. Watch how I use the system and kind of pair along with me so that we can make sure it's not just some slide deck that we send you and you know, maybe the developers are only half listening and they got the cat on the keyboard. No. We're here to actually get you enabled and confident using our observability data and platform to know, triage, and understand your system. So it is a bit more legwork on our part to do that kind of deep partnership, but it is so worth it, especially when you think about it's not only the instrumentation layer. What are the libraries you're using? How do those play with the big goals of monitoring that you have? Like, OTel's maybe going to get an Android agent donated? Like, yes, finally getting mobile to the table is going to be huge. So keeping an eye on how I mean, you got to keep an eye on OTel. Like, we are moving so quick these days. What you instrumented with yesterday, there may be improvements that you want to upgrade. So I guess I would say, when you join this world, be ready to make it easy to introduce changes and to continue to iterate. Get that feedback loop of deploying new versions and bumping up. Build that in from the beginning, and your path will be smooth.
I guess one of the questions I would have on that is, who should consider jumping to Chronosphere? There's an obvious one to me, which is, hey, I'm outgrowing Prometheus or Cortex, Thanos, etc. And then there's a less obvious, hey, maybe I'm just getting into cloud. Is this something that I should look at now? Do you need a particular capability or maturity, do you think, before somebody can truly unlock all the benefits of Chronosphere? So who do you target? Again, there's some obvious ones, maybe there's some less obvious ones, but who's an ideal customer that should look at Chronosphere?
Yeah. So the natural fit, the easy fit today, you know, come sign up today, is you're already in the cloud. You are either running DIY Prometheus, or you're running a DIY house in stack, stack in-house. And you're feeling the pain not only of costs, you're feeling the pain of dashboards that are slow to load. That was new to me. I've always been a monitoring vendor baby, so I have very high expectations that my dashboard loads very quickly. I've learned that some of our customers with the DIY installations, that's the more data that they have to chart, the slower that it takes for some of these assets to load. And I thought, that would drive me bonkers if I'm in the middle of an incident or even just trying to check on a PR that I just deployed. I want my data speedy. I want that time to glass slow. So there's that group of people who say, hey, what we have right now isn't working. I'd love to get our engineers and our operators not focused on running this DIY stack, but actually enabling our developers and raising the level of visibility across the system versus keeping this DIY component alive. The other bucket of folks are people who have committed and are starting their journey to cloud native. You're already in the cloud, but maybe it's been a year, or you're halfway through your cloud migration and you're running into, whoa, all of a sudden we have way more metrics, and the more containers that we have that spin up and spin down, that's more extra metrics, especially if we're using like instance name and version tag with service, like that cardinality gets really high. But we don't want to be afraid of cardinality. Cardinality actually gives us a lot of interesting insights, and it's the most business context data available to you. So in the older generations of systems, that cardinality, dealing with high cardinality, is prohibitive. It's cost prohibitive, it's storage prohibitive, all of those things. In our world, please, please add user ID. Please add the whatever labels you need to get insights that are helpful for you. Group by customer tier. Who are your priority customers? Your enterprise. Like, we want to get you using this data. So that is, yeah, I think I'll pause there.
So I love that. And I love you're right. Like, the baggage API, let's populate it. Let's propagate that context. I guess the one final question I would have is, there's obviously, like, you do a lot of contextual linking today with your metrics and traces. We've talked to the folks at OpenTelemetry. So, you know, Rob, Ted, Morgan, and as we were chatting with them, we understand the complexities of getting logging right. And I know everybody's working very hard on this. Is it safe to say that, one, you're participating in those conversations, and two, that when those capabilities start to avail, is that something that you are planning on pulling into the product and still making it feel as though this is one set of features? Because I think you've done that very, very well to integrate the traces and metrics. Where are you in that kind of journey and participation?
Oh my gosh, logs. Yes, let's talk logs. So I have to be careful what I say.
That's fair.
And what I will say is, we support OpenTelemetry. OpenTelemetry is forging ahead on the logging conversation. It's actually moved quite, it's progressed quite further than I even knew till I checked this morning. So we will continue to have our approach and our philosophy around no three pillars. It's about enabling the operator, the engineer at the end of the day, what is the data and information they need to know, triage, and understand. Whether that is a metric, a trace, a metric from a trace, you know, or maybe one day a log. It feels like that is where OTel is moving. What I would say, though, is one, we do have linking in between. You can add these annotations. So when you click on a metric chart, which is the most intuitive thing, I think even when you show, you know, like I'll show, a, you know, a toddler, like, look at this metric chart. They want to just click. You see something interesting, you want to click. And so when you do that, you can bring up, hey, do you want to go query your logs that live in this other system? Great. But at that point, you've still used all of Chronosphere's smarts and powers and all of the data that is useful to you and your company to narrow down where in the logs you need to look, what component, what interactions. And it gives you a lot more focused investigation once you get to the logs, which are so detailed, lots of detail over there. So that is one aspect that we support today. The other thing I would love to see as folks adopt OpenTelemetry is say, hey, do we need to emit this as a separate log that goes to this other logging vendor? Or can we make it a span log or a span event? And what if we started to shift some of that data away from logs and into spans and traces? Of course, that won't cover every use case, but I do think it is an interesting approach that I would like to see companies start to dabble with, because OTel logging isn't going to be here tomorrow. It's not going to be here next week. So how do we work in this middle as it's all getting developed? How can we still increase your value and visibility within the data that you've got in Chronosphere? So that would be my personal recommendation, is to start to see where you can shift some of that over. But know that, of course, we want to link you out to your data. We're not here to keep you trapped within the walls of Chronosphere. We want you to solve the real problems at hand, whether that is going from an annotation to logs or totally just staying in our Trace Explorer.
Right on. I think that would be awesome, because that's less places to look. So if you can get context right where you are from your spans, all the better, while you have access and a pinpointed location to go look for within your logs. So that said, Paige, it was really awesome to have you as part of our podcast here. We hope that our listeners take some value out of this conversation and come back either to us or to Chronosphere. And we support them in this ongoing dialogue and hopefully adoption of Chronosphere and playing in the observability open telemetry space and adopting open source, open standards. So thank you very much for being a part of the show. It was great talking to you.
Yeah, thanks, Paige.
Absolutely. Had a great time. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Thank you.